being followed. A terrifying experience that I've heard all too often. You tell yourself it's paranoia. You say they're just going the same way I am. But your gut is telling you something's not right. Maybe your mind is playing tricks on you. Or maybe there's an evolutionary trait built into each of us. One that's been a safety switch to alert us that we are being hunted. That in this moment, we are prey. Good evening. My name is Kyle, and welcome to the Nightmare Society. This incident occurred when I was around 13 years old. I was going dress shopping for a wedding or something with my mom, my sister, my mom's friend, and that woman's daughter. My sister and the other two women rode together in one car while I rode with my mom in our car. When we arrived at our destination, a small mall somewhat in the middle of nowhere, the other members of our group headed on inside while my mom and I parked. When we got out of the car, we realized that the parking job was awful. So I held my mom's purse and stood next to the spot while she backed out and pulled back in. However, to two male bystanders, it must have appeared that my mother was leaving me. I noticed the two men when I got out of the car, but didn't think much of it. They were both tall and very skinny and both looked pretty ratty. I turned my back to them and watched as my mother backed out. I could hear them talking, but I didn't pay much attention to what they were talking about. Red flags only started going off when I realized they were walking towards me. I'm naturally a paranoid person, so this alone sent me into a panic. I tried to reassure myself. Surely they were only headed towards their car, which happened to be in my direction. They kept getting closer, but I was too scared to move. And then I heard it.
Grab her.
I whipped my head around to see the pair standing right behind me, one reaching for me. Right at that moment, my mother started to pull back into her spot and they booked it out of there, literally sprinting in the opposite direction. I told my mom about it when she got out of the car, and we spotted them speed walking behind the row of cars opposite to where we were. Their eyes were boring holes into me, and all my mother said was,
"Wow, they really are staring at you."
Thanks, Mom. So, earlier tonight, my friend asked me to come over to his house. I wasn't doing anything, so I decided, why not? I got there and my two friends Sid and Liam were there. After a while, Mike showed up there too. We were just sitting around killing time and then eventually decided to go to Dunkin' Donuts. You may be wondering why get Dunkin' at 9:45 at night. Well, I love double chocolate donuts and I was hungry. Anyways, after we got Dunkin', I convinced my friends to go to the train tracks by my house. I know now that this was probably a horrible idea at the time, but as bored high schoolers, anything semi-thrilling is a blast to us, especially at night. Before I start telling the rest, I have to give you an idea of where the tracks are. I live in a pretty dense forest, so driving around at night and seeing around corners is hard. Over one of the roads to get into my neighborhood is a railroad bridge that's about 15 to 20 feet above the road. After you pull into my neighborhood, you take a right and then a left to get parallel with the railroad track. The track itself is on a big rock hill thing, again about 15 to 20 feet above the road. After going parallel along the road for about a quarter mile, you can either take a left to continue along the road or left along a dirt road still parallel with the tracks. Then, after going along that road, you can either go left into my neighborhood or right to get back along the dirt road again. Anyways, so my friends and I were driving into my neighborhood when we got around the area where you can take a left along the dirt road or a left to continue down that road. This is where everything started to get kind of weird. We saw a car going kind of slow by that corner and slowly crept around it. We decided to drive around the corner and pull into a driveway to pretend we lived there. We did this because we didn't feel like letting people know we were planning on stopping by the tracks. After staying in the driveway for a few seconds, we noticed the car that passed us stopped and turned around. I pulled out of the driveway and went the way it came and went around 40 miles per hour in a 25. I had been reading Let's Not Meet earlier and was kind of creeped out for some reason by it turning around, although I had no reason at the time. After getting a good head start on him, I slowed down. We were halfway through the stretch of the road when Liam noticed that the car we passed up earlier was gaining on us and fast. I didn't think much of it, but he started to flash his brights at me, which was very unsettling considering the circumstances. The neighborhood I live in is probably the tamest town in the state, and stuff like this rarely happens, so my friends and I were understandably bothered by this guy. We drove on while he tailgated me, and I decided to go right back to the dirt road instead of towards my house. I pulled around and saw his car slow down at the intersection and then take a left. Boy, were we happy when that ass finally relented. We went along the dirt road and back to the area you can make the lefts mentioned before, since that was the only feasible way up there. We got out of the car and climbed up onto one of those metal things over the train tracks with the red and green lights. Sid, however, was having none of it and decided to sit in the car while we dicked around. After messing around on top of that, Liam, Mike, and I went to get Sid. We started walking down the railroad tracks, and about halfway there, we heard that all too familiar sound of a train horn in the distance. That's when we decided to book it back to the car. The whole time we were running, all we could hear was the train horn getting louder and louder. And since after the bridge the tracks turned right, we wouldn't know if the train was close until it was very close. After what seemed like forever, we reached the path to get off the hill and to our car. Sid, Liam, and Mike all wanted to just go back to Sid's house and wait until later to go back. When we got back, Liam, Mike, and I just talked about how cool it was up there and how we'd do it again. But Sid was done with the train tracks for a while. After trying to convince him, we decided that we were just going to go back and Sid could stay home. Mike, Liam, and I made it back to the left turn area with no incident and decided to try to get back to the bridge again. We made it there, just talked for about 10 minutes, then decided to head back. When we were almost there, we saw a truck pull around the corner that the car had come by, and just like the car, it slowed down around the corner. This was not an, oh, I'm not trying to crash slow. This was a, I'm looking for you, slow. Mike whispered for us to get down, and without hesitation, we dropped down and watched. We knew something was awry because it stopped at the left turn area with its lights pointed in our direction. My car was parked down the road a bit, so I have no idea if the car was looking at us or at my car. Either way, it did the same thing as the car and turned around to head the other direction. We knew something was up, so instead of staying on the tracks for a bit longer, we decided to dip. The only way back was either through the dirt path or the way the truck went, and we didn't have much time because Liam had to be back by 11:30. I just decided to go the fastest way and follow where the truck went, and then through the dirt road to get to Mike, Sid, and Liam's neighborhood. We were all a little shaken up because we thought we would get into trouble for something. I had just been down this road earlier when we all went back to Sid's house and thought this night of adventure was going to be over. We reached the end of the road and saw two vehicles parked along the road. Strange, we thought, because they weren't there when we dropped Sid off. After passing them, I realized they were a car and a truck. the exact same two that had been at the corner by us. This is where I started to panic, because I knew something was up. No one ever goes back there because there's no real reason. Only in my case was it faster to go on a shitty dirt road with potholes everywhere. I sped up and got to Sid's fast as I could while not looking panicked. I dropped off Mike and Liam, and Mike offered to drop Liam off on his moped. I know that sounds strange or not realistic, but for some reason Mike's family has a moped. In fact, I just found out that he has two. I drove home and didn't bother going back on the dirt path and went around a different route. For me, my night was over. For Mike, though, things were about to take a turn. About a half hour after getting home, I got a flurry of texts from Mike about what had just happened. Apparently, after dropping off Liam, he started to moped home when the truck from before started to follow him. He said at first he was far away, but then the truck came in very close to him and followed him towards his house. I have no idea why he thought to do what he did, but apparently he kept on driving past his house and lost him somehow, then walked his moped home, or something along the lines of that. It was through the Snapchat texting thing, so unfortunately I don't have a reference, but he said when he got inside he saw the truck just sitting outside of his neighbor's house, and after a few minutes drove off. I have no idea who these people are or why they were following us, but weird, stalkery car people, let's not meet. So this is a story that happened to my mom's friend in Korea about 10 years ago. Every time I hear this story, I still get the chills. My mom's friend lived in an apartment complex in Seoul. She was a stay-at-home mother with a young daughter, and her husband worked during the days. One day, she was coming home from running errands with her daughter and got into the elevator in her building. When she got on, she noticed that there was a man wearing a cap and a yellow raincoat, and he kept his head low so she couldn't really see his face. She immediately felt really uneasy, and she made her daughter stand to her side, furthest away from the man. What made her feel even more uncomfortable was that when she pressed the button for her floor, there was no other lit number. And on top of that, she noticed that he was carrying something wrapped inside a newspaper close to his side. Things started to click in her head and she started to panic and decided to take out her cell phone and pretend she was calling home to her husband, who was obviously really not at home and at work. She started saying things like, "Oh, I'm in the elevator about to get off. Can you get the door for me?" And making it seem like her husband was waiting at home. When the elevator did reach her floor, I think she lived on like the 12th floor or something, she quickly got off and grabbed her daughter and started to walk as fast as she could to her apartment. She noticed that the man also got off on her floor and was slowly following her down the hallway. When she got to her door, she started to bang on it and shout,
"Hey, Yebo, I'm home, please open the door."
Yebo means husband or dear, and kind of pretended like he was coming to answer the door. Upon seeing this, the man in his yellow raincoat started to walk away back towards the elevator. When he seemed to be far away enough, my mom's friend quickly picked up her daughter and slid open the door's passcode thingy. This is usually how people get into their homes in Korea. And started to frantically punch in her key code. But the problem was that the buttons would make a sound, so the man knew that no one was going to answer the door for her, and he turned around and started to run back towards her. My mom's friend at this point was practically screaming, and when she finally got her door to open, the first thing she did was throw her daughter in through the door. When she got in herself, she saw that the man was pretty much inches from the door, but she managed to shut it and lock it before he could wedge his hand or weapon into the door. Afterwards, looking through the door's peephole, she saw that the man was walking away back towards the elevator. Several months later, my mom's friend was watching the news and there was coverage on the capture of a serial killer named Yoo Young-chul, who used to kill a lot of prostitutes. She told my mom that she could never forget the dread she felt when she saw the too familiar yellow raincoat and hat that he was wearing when apprehended. Here's a note from what the wiki page says that the poster linked. Yoo Young-chul, born April 18, 1970, is a South Korean serial killer and self-confessed cannibal. Although he admitted to murdering 21 people, mostly prostitutes and wealthy old men, the Seoul Central District Court convicted him of 20 murders. One case was dismissed on a technicality. Yoo burned three and mutilated at least 11 of his victims, admitting he ate the livers of some of them. He committed his crimes between September 2003 and July 2004 when he was arrested. Yoo explained his motives in front of a TV camera saying, "Women shouldn't be sluts, and the rich should know what they've done." I was about 15 at the time, with my brother 17, and it was pretty late at night. Now, my grandparents' property is surrounded by woods on two sides, the left leading into a deep forest of evergreen, and ending at a lake with the other houses within throwing distance. I've grown up my whole life in those woods, seen many of critters, and was never really scared of them. They were more of a place of comfort and aloneness I liked. But I digress, back to the story. My brother and I were walking up the long driveway that ended at the road because we kept hearing noises like moving branches by the tree line and wanted to check it out. We both knew whatever is in the woods, be it a raccoon, possum, coyote, whatever, that logically we could easily overpower and kill it. On our way back from investigating, I heard walking behind us and I turned around to see. It was pretty dark and the only thing we had for a light was my phone, which wasn't much. All I could see was two bright eyes staring back, maybe 3 or 4 feet from the ground. I don't know what it was particularly, but even now I'm thinking about just those eyes, and its presence filled me with the most horrific dread imaginable. It's like all my blood turned to ice and I couldn't stop shaking. It wasn't just basic instinctual fear, but absolute dread. I immediately grabbed my brother's arm and ran as fast as I could to the porch, which has a light that shines about 10 feet into the yard. Whatever this thing was followed us, and when I made it to the porch and turned around, it had stopped just outside the light. Just enough to see those fucking eyes. The way it swayed almost made me vomit. I've never seen any animal sway like that and move its head so oddly. This thing was too large to be a rabid raccoon or coyote. My brother and I quickly got inside and turned off all the lights and hid under our blankets. So, I live in a town of around 60,300 people and have been living and working here for 1.5 years. I don't know many people here as I work all day and have schoolwork in my free time. Because of this, I've been trying to meet new people and found a Facebook group with women wanting to hang out. One was suggesting a pre-party before going out, and we were 6 girls in total. At around 3 a.m., 3 of us decided to go home. One took a taxi and the other one lives like 3 minutes away from me, so we walked. We were talking and laughing for a few minutes before she went inside and I started to walk home rather happy and still a bit drunk. I suddenly noticed footsteps and got a bit paranoid, as you do being a woman in her early 20s walking home in the middle of the night. Like 50 meters further ahead, there's a public swimming pool and they still had lights on, so I decided to leave the sidewalk because usually people are just on their way home themselves and will just keep walking. Not in this case, though. As I reach the entrance with all the lights and turn around, this guy is literally 3 steps behind me. I ask him why he's following me, and he just mumbled something I couldn't make out. Could be an immigrant, though, so maybe he doesn't know Danish. I told him that he shouldn't be following me and that I'd like for him to keep going. No response. I then told him that I don't like being followed and please move on. He just smiled a creepy smile and out of nowhere grabbed my hair on the back of my head and pulled me towards him harder than I thought possible for his size. I fell on top of him and he got knocked out when he hit the pavement. Idiot. I ran across the parking lot to the road at a safe distance where I called 112 emergency while I could still keep an eye on him. Really wanted to just run home, but also I was terrified that me landing on him might kill him or whatever. Shock makes you think weird things. He attempted to get up a few times when I decided to run, but saw the lights from the ambulance come down the road, so I stayed and one of them came to check up on me while we waited for the police to arrive. I'm fine. I've got a sore scalp and a bruise on my left arm where I landed on him, and I'm sure he's got the biggest headache ever. Karma is a bitch, and here I thought I'd run out of dumb luck a long time ago. This was back in October 2018 when I had accompanied my mom to a clinic in a small town about an hour away from Frankfurt. I'm in my late 20s and female. We were there for about 2 weeks while my mom underwent treatment for cancer. Unfortunately, soon after arriving, she experienced a lot of pain in her leg, and we later found out that the cancer had spread there and her leg could break at any wrong step. This meant that if I was going to see anything, I had to go alone. This was fine, as the town we were in was extremely small and filled mostly with the old and sick. There was a larger town only about a mile away up and over a fairly steep hill, and a large park in between. It was about noon, and my mom wasn't going to need me to be around, so I decided to go for a walk around the park. To get there, I just had to walk down the path across a street lined with inns and cafes on the side leading to the park. There are twisting paths crisscrossing each other, a lot of benches, a couple of fountains, and one or two community buildings. I chose a path that would take me right beside an underground fountain about as deep as my shoulders. I'm 5'7", with steps leading down to the spout. It was there that I first saw him. I was heading almost directly toward the fountain when a man's head pops up, looking directly at me. I looked back at him for a second, thinking I had surprised him just as much and we'd do the normal look away quickly thing. I was the only one who looked away. When I looked back, I realized he was still watching me, and then I noticed he had one arm crossed over his chest and moving as though he was touching himself. As soon as I realized this, I looked away and changed my direction to give him a wide berth. I was so stunned and in disbelief that I convinced myself that whatever he was doing had nothing to do with me, and that as long as I kept walking, he'd go back to being weird all by himself. I turned down a path that, for that immediate area, was wide open. I was still close to the cafes and inns, and the occasional other person also taking a midday walk. I was almost to an area that would take the path through patches of woods, which would also take me out of the public eye, when I looked back to see if the guy was still at the fountain. But he was gone. Surprised, I quickly did a circle and noticed he had taken off, doing a wide loop that left a lot of opportunity for us to cross paths again if I didn't change directions. Once again, I couldn't believe it. I thought, it's the middle of the day, we're in a quiet but not unpopulated town about a mile away from a larger one. There's no one here but old and sick people. There's no way a predator would be here, now, hunting me. But I still stopped and decided to change directions again. This time, my dumbass decides to take a tiny path that would lead me to the base of the hill that would go over to the larger town and was heavily wooded. I get up to where the tree started and decide to look again. That's when I notice that he had also changed his direction and was practically jogging away from me. I look back up the path and realize that continuing would leave me completely alone and vulnerable, and even though I didn't know where it led, I had a fairly good idea that the path the guy was jogging up would eventually connect to this path in the woods, because they all did. So I stood at the end of the path and waited until the guy was out of sight, before I turned around and headed up the opposite direction through the grass of a pretty wide open portion of the park. I got to where I was a safe distance away and pulled out my phone to start recording myself. I figured it would look just like I was video chatting with someone. This was when it was shown, without a doubt, that this guy was after me because not long after I made it across the park, but to where I could still see the path up the hill, he comes down the very same path, looking side to side, looking for me. He eventually spots me again. I had very bright dyed red hair and was pretty easy to spot in such a wide open area. It's at this point I feel safe enough because there are people nearby and I'm within running distance of the town should this guy book it towards me. And I keep wandering around, testing to see how far this guy will go. He keeps following me, trying to stay out of sight, because at one point I turn around suddenly and watch him sprint back into some trees until eventually I go up a hill that has zero cover for him to use, and I lose track of him. I continued on to explore a different small town, making sure I'm always in a public space and easily seen, but I never saw him again. Trust your gut. My head was telling me there was no way this could be happening to me, and I almost tested it by walking up into the woods. But my gut screamed, bad idea, and I couldn't be more relieved I listened. Trust your gut. Truly terrifying accounts. I tell these stories not only to scare and entertain, but also as a warning and a reminder to trust yourself. My best friend has had two attempted kidnappings on her, once right in front of me. You never know how you'll react, but these stories may offer some insights as to how you might or how you should react. A heartfelt thanks to our contributors, Professor Broke, Eskimo Pie 910, Whale Baboon, Toddly Marks, Qualira, and Goth Bitch 24. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by leaving a review. I would really appreciate it. Also, please send your true scary encounters and suggestions to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com and follow me on Instagram at nightmaresocietyradio and Twitter at @TheKyleHaggard. Thanks for listening. Until next time, stay safe.